When Father Jim Manship came to the store and began videotaping the officer's conduct, the police alleged his camera might be a weapon and arrested him. East Haven police dropped the charges, but that's when members of the church went into action. Ángel Fernández is a lay leader of the parish. He said it was hard to believe some of the stories he heard, but as more incidents piled up, he was convinced by the numbers and by the character of the victims.
The stories of one guy who was left undressed in his cell, the fact that women have been pulled out of their car, by the hair. I want to be very clear. I mean, some of the injuries were very severe. I know people have been hospitalized. We just heard of an incident recently where one of the officers basically slammed the car door on the driver's ankle.
Church members collected more than 100 incidents and submitted 20 to the U.S. Department of Justice to press their case that the civil rights of Latinos were being violated. The DOJ launched an investigation and in mid-April issued a letter to the town attorney outlining 7 areas of concern, including inadequate training, inadequate policies on the use of force, and inadequate citizen complaint and internal investigation processes. The DOJ stated the town should use the letter as a guide to its future reform efforts. Parishioners also filed a State Freedom of Information Act request for traffic stop and other police records. When East Haven officials did not fully comply, the church members sought help from students working through a Yale Law School clinic. At the end of April, the commission issued its ruling, as second-year law student Tafari Lumumba explains.
The Freedom of Information Commission has found that the East Haven Police Department violated the Freedom of Information Act by refusing to disclose training records, by refusing to disclose documents regarding a complaint filed against one of its officers, and also by refusing to disclose use of force records for a taser and for a pepper spray.
The commission declined to impose civil penalties on East Haven, but did order officials to search for additional records. City officials declined to be interviewed for this story. Meanwhile, the law students analyzed traffic stop records from East Haven, where Latinos make up 6% of the population. Lumumba says they found a glaring discrepancy and a glaring reporting error on forms where the boxes to mark race or ethnicity included white, black, and Hispanic.
While 60% of the people who received tickets had Hispanic names, they were marked by the officers as white.
Even though some of the Latinos who were stopped live outside of East Haven, Latinos were still greatly overrepresented in the numbers of motorists stopped by police. The Justice Department said its investigation is ongoing as officials review police records and conduct more interviews. After receiving the Justice Department letter, Mayor April Capone Allman put the police chief, Leonard Gallo, on administrative leave. Lumumba says this is one step in a process.
But it's really not just a matter of one or two bad officers or bad officials. It's about changing the culture of the department. And this case should be a cautionary tale on a nationwide scale for any police chief or sheriff that wishes to use racial profiling to enforce immigration law. I mean, a line has to be drawn, and it starts with East Haven.
On May 1st, along with dozens of cities across the country, New Haven hosted an immigrants' rights march. Chants targeted the draconian law just passed in Arizona, allowing police to stop and question anyone they suspect is an undocumented immigrant. Marcia Chacon says she already knows what that feels like.
La situación que ya vivimos aquí en East Haven, yeah, sin haber ninguna ley ni nada.
That's the situation we're living now in East Haven, without even having a law. We're living that situation here.
Melinda Tuhus, Free Speech Radio News, East Haven, Connecticut.
And that wraps up today's program. This is Free Speech Radio News. Thanks for listening. In New York, I'm Doran Marina.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI New York. The time is just about 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Bum dilly bum for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bum dilly bum!
And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, where we are in a race against time because we have to raise more money tonight, but also try and talk about things going on in the world as well. Joined tonight by Mike,
Hi.
Jim,
Hi.
Rob T. Firefly,
Hello.
Voltaire, Red Hacked,
Hello.
Todd Rett, Hello. Not Kevin. Welcome back.
Thank
and
you.
Bernie S. down there in Philadelphia. How's it going?
Great.
Okay, wonderful. Now, let's move on. We have interesting things going on in the news today. There's a press release. I'm sorry, I just had a cup of coffee downstairs, so I'm a little jittery. But we also have to do 2 hours of a show within 1 hour. There's a press release involving the Next Hope. Yes, the Next Hope is still happening, July 16, 17, and 18 in New York City at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Go to.
Have you been taking like commercial radio announcer training?
No, I just had that cup of coffee, but that's apparently all you need. www.hope.net has a lot of information about the Hope Conference, some of the speakers that we're going to have, and calls for volunteers and vendors and other speakers and things like that. We'll have much more information in the weeks ahead. But here's something that just came out today. Futuristic human tracking is here. Personal privacy will become a thing of the past this July when hackers unveil technology that could send privacy advocates into a panic mode. Conference attendees will witness firsthand, while voluntarily wearing futuristic RFID badges, what human tracking capabilities have become. The system is entitled OpenAMD. It'll show the fun and also reveal the dark side of familiar social networking websites like MySpace and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of thing. In addition to making the entire project open source, developers can now create their own software before the conference using the newly released public API. If you want more information, go to the website, go to the special section of our website, amd.hope.net. You can also contact the OpenAMD team at amd@hope.net. So it's either amd.hope.net or amd@hope.net if you want to email or go to the website. Does anybody have anything to add to this release?
There's a great video on the Hope website explaining what the AMD program is.
Yes, there is.
The attendee metadata program. And it's a great video. I saw it today, and it got me very enthusiastic.
It's a little flashy. It's a little bumpy, bouncy, whatever you want to say. But that's what the kids today like. So, Rob T. Firefly, you're in it, right?
I am. I have a cameo.
You have a cameo. Dot Red is in it. I'm in it, I understand.
Possibly.
I don't remember being in it at all.
You're the star of that show. It's you know, for you, about you. It's a you vehicle, basically.
And there must be somebody who looks like me that says these things. I have no recollection of this. This sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, these guys have been working tirelessly for many, many months now on this whole project. The badges this year are going to be phenomenal, and that in itself is worth coming. If there weren't over 100 speakers giving all kinds of talks and all sorts of fun happening on the second floor, I would still say the Hope Conference is going to be amazing just based on the badges alone. Now, it's important to point out that if you pre-register for the conference by going to hope.net and clicking the various links to get to pre-registration, you'll definitely get one of these special badges that allow you to play all these games and be tracked and things like that, voluntarily, of course. And we're going to try, you know, as depending on how many people show up, for those people who show up on the day of the conference, but we can't guarantee that we won't run out of badges before that happens. That happened last time. We weren't able to populate all the badges for everybody. Everybody got a cool badge, but not all of them were functional. Red Hack.
You know, it's kind of interesting to see this develop because over time, the technology has gotten easier and easier for electronics and for people to get involved in electronics and electronic hacking. And, you know, I remember back at the first Hope I attended, which was H2K2, there were smart card contacts on the card, but that was really just for show. But then as time has passed, now you actually do have badges that are populated with active electronics that are doing things and, you know, that you can play with. And I'm not sure about the badge, whether the interfaces are programmable. I'm sure to a degree they are, because really anything like that is. But
yes, they are.
Okay, so they're going to have, like, the interfaces that you could connect to and reprogram?
Yeah. You can actually hold on, my headphone just unplugged.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
hear you fine.
Okay. These badges are designed to be hackable, and there will be there'll be places set up at the Hope Conference. You can actually hack your own badge. You can plug it into a computer, and you can make it do all kinds of things. There's blinky lights on it. There's red lights and green lights, and there's a radio on it that talks to the other badges and talks to all the transponders in the room, and it's pretty amazing stuff going on. And the applications that people are going to be able to write with this API that was announced today, it's going to be really interesting to see what people come up with. There's some amazing stuff came up with 2 years ago at the last Hope, but now we've got a much bigger head start, and people have months to work on some amazing apps.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing about the API. It's kind of interesting because here you're taking a real-world thing, which is people moving around the conference, and making it an API that people can access and kind of use that to, I don't know, invade their privacy or whatever. But this actually mirrors reality because you have a lot of these APIs out there now, like the Facebook API and the Foursquare API and things like that, that basically let you do the same thing. And I don't know how many people realize that to be the case. But anyway, that'll be interesting to see, given this kind of data, what people will do with it.
And again, for more information, go to amd.hope.net. And if you want to become part of the project, write to amd@hope.net. And it's going to be amazing and fabulous and all that kind of thing. Go to www.hope.net for more information on the Hope Conference. And one other announcement. This is something involving Club Mate, the German hacker drink that we somehow distribute throughout the country. We're having a special Seattle Club Mate Day. If there are Seattle listeners out there, yes, the first weekend of June, you can have, it won't be the 2600 van. It'll be a 2600 vehicle, but not the 2600 van. It can't make it all the way out to Seattle. But you will have an official vehicle come and bring a 20-bottle case to your home or business during that first weekend of June. All you got to do is contact the folks what's the website? club-mate.us? Is that?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you go to the story on 2600.com that talks about this, all the links are there, and you can email the appropriate people. But it's a significant savings over the regular shipping cost to have somebody just give it to you there. So,
Club-mate.us.
Club-mate.us.
The dash is optional.
Oh, okay. So we have it without the dash.
With or without the dash. Okay. But you have to say .us, not whatever I agreed to before.
So it's spelled C-L-U-B-M-A-T-E. Okay. So that's enough with the exciting announcement. Now we have some exciting stuff to share with you. Things from the past. We're offering tonight, as part of our special WBAI fundraiser, is an archive of Off the Hook, because Off the Hook has been here for all kinds of historical moments. And the one we're about to play right now is one of the more historical ones that happened in this world. It's when war was about to break out. Which war, you ask? Oh, yes, there are many. Things always seem to happen during the time we're on the air, and when President George W. Bush made the deadline announcement for Saddam Hussein to do something, one thing or another, the hour was ticking down to the very end of our show. So war could have begun at the very minute that our show ended that night. So this is an excerpt from the show, I believe it's March 19th, 2003, and I believe war started about 3 days later. So it didn't really happen that night, but everybody was talking about it. It was on everyone's mind. And it just goes to show the kinds of things that can happen on the air that don't necessarily have to do with computers and technology, but they still concern us nonetheless. This is yours for a pledge of $75. And when I say this, I mean every single show that we've done over the years from 1988 to the end of 2009 in full DVD quality or audio quality. Full on-air quality, I guess, is the way to say that. 212-209-2950, pledge of $75 gets you that. Every pledge of $35 and above gets you a brand new Off the Hook t-shirt in the size of your choice. And we have other things to offer as well, but if you're interested in this, give us a call now. 212-209-2950. Let's go back to 2003. And a good evening to everybody on this auspicious occasion of it's kind of bizarre how things always seem to happen during our program, but this is actually it, the much hyped countdown to war. Well, this is the final hour when our show is over. Could very well be when war officially begins. It might even begin before then. We're monitoring the situation, and at this point we really have to give you some important information as to just what's going to be happening here at the radio station. Obviously, things are about to hit the fan in one way or another. We don't know exactly how things are going to go. Nobody does. But one thing that is vital to this community, to the New York area, to all the people who are listening to us on the internet, it's important for us to have a voice to be able to broadcast whatever information we're able to obtain, whatever news is not being broadcast by the mainstream media. And that's why, for the foreseeable future at least, the main focus of this program, as well as many others on this radio station, is going to be the military action that is taking place, how that affects us back here at home, how that affects people over there. And we're just going to try and shed our particular unique light on events as they unfold. And we invite our listeners, obviously, to do the same as well. Quite a lot of changes going on right before our very eyes, I'd say not one of them is a good change. It's really it's kind of unbelievable. What's going on in New York right now? The sense of occupation that's taking place. I mean, generally in wars, traditionally, wars have been fought over borders where people, you know, throw things back and forth at each other. But that's not the case here. We have some bizarre, distorted view of war that allows us to go to someplace else and, you know, bomb another country to smithereens, and nothing happens to us except our own paranoid delusions of what they might do. And those paranoid delusions of what they might do have led to a virtual military siege of the city here. Last night I was walking around in the Penn Station area. I was actually in the subway system, not in Penn Station. And I bumped into a guy. I always bump into people. It happens on the subway. Except this guy had a goddamn machine gun on him. Yeah. It was one of these military people. I guess they're National Guard, but you know what? I don't care what you call them. They're soldiers, and they're occupying the city. And they have machine guns. And I don't know what in God's name somebody with a machine gun is going to be able to do to prevent somebody from blowing themselves up or crashing planes into buildings. I remember when this first started a couple of years ago, we were talking about the National Guard in Penn Station and various other places, and how, you know, it was just a show of strength, of force, of something like that, and that there's nothing to worry about. These people don't even have guns. Well, that's certainly changed. It's changed a lot. There's people walking around now with machine guns, and, you know, I don't know what to do with these people, what to make of them. You know, do you look into their eyes? Do you look away? Do you, you know, say excuse me when you bump into them? Do you, like, try, like the plague, not to bump into them? I mean, what has anyone out there had any kind of encounter with these people? You know, it's really frightening. And then walking down Wall Street on the way to the station here, yes, we're right on Wall Street. And that's sure a mixed blessing, I guess. We get to see exactly what's going on, but we also have to live through it. It's like going through a military camp right now. There's those suicide bomber blocking pieces of concrete everywhere. There's cops and soldiers with you know, machine guns and all kinds of hostile expressions. And you know, it really affects you. Even if they don't talk to you, even if they don't approach you, just seeing them around there, it's really frightening, scary, and makes you realize how much things have changed in the past past couple of weeks, past couple of years, certainly. So that's where things stand. Now, Bernie S. is in Philadelphia. Bernie, you've noticed some things down there as well, haven't you?
I have, although it's quite not the state of siege that New York's in, but from my office window, I have a good view of the federal building at 6th and Market Street. And I casually look up at the roof of that building occasionally because there's an interesting array of antennas, and occasionally they put a new one up there, so I take note of that and speculate as to its purpose. But today I noticed several machine gun armed, apparently Homeland Security officials walking around on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an unusual sight. I've never seen that before. So it's clearly because of the near state of siege that our government is afraid that we're under.
Did they have any kind of uniform, fatigues, anything like that?
We're too far away. All I could see from the contrast with the sun was the black profiles against the skyline.
Bernie, I got to ask you if you can move to a more quiet location because there's a bunch of loud people around you and it's causing your phone to...
I am very sorry. I'll try to put a scaffold behind me here. Here we go.
Thank you.
As I was saying, there's all I could make out was their profile... Against the skyline, but they were clearly carrying automatic weapons and pretty padded, so they're wearing bulletproof vests, I guess.
Of course, we welcome any reports from our listeners of other strange things that might be going on throughout the country. As many of you know, there was a 48-hour time limit given by George W. Bush to for Saddam to get out of his own country. I don't know where he's supposed to go. I also don't understand if this guy is like such a horrible war criminal, why you'd say, okay, everything will be fine if you just go somewhere else. That means that, I'm looking at live pictures now. Well, actually, I guess they're not live in Kuwait, but nothing seems to be happening as of yet. It's insane that people actually are timing this to the moment that he said this in his speech. He talked on Monday night at about 8 o'clock, and it was 8:10 p.m. when he said the words. He had 48 hours for Saddam Hussein. So of course that means that at around 8:10, or many people are now saying 8 o'clock, that's when the deadline runs out. And if Saddam Hussein is still in Iraq, that's when he should go to Kuwait. What if he did that, huh? Yeah, that would really surprise everybody. No, that's you have to maintain a sense of humor in these things. Sorry, Mike. There you are.
Yeah, I think that North Korea has said he's welcome there.
Wow, that would be some coalition, wouldn't it? Now, you know, you got to think of that situation too. North Korea has already expressed its how shall I say edginess about what we're doing. Now we start bombing over in Iraq. And we talk about North Korea as the axis of evil, part of the axis of evil. What do you think is going to be going through their heads? What do you think, they just might be a little bit really trigger happy. We're putting the world in a very, and by we I mean this government that allegedly represents us, in a very dangerous position when diplomacy certainly should have been given more of a chance. I got to say something right now. I want to go on the record as saying this. All right, it's basically admitting that I was wrong about a very fundamental thing. I don't think that Al Gore would have messed it up this badly. I think there was a difference. There was a difference between Gore and Bush. And I think Bush is proving that marvelously right now. That doesn't mean I still wouldn't have voted for Nader or you know, somebody that I think would have done a better job, but to say that they were identical... No, I think this is something that you only see a person like this come along once every couple hundred years. That's going to plunge the world into chaos like this. Okay, there we are. That's an excerpt from March of 2003 on the eve of the Iraq War, and of course we know what a big hit that was. I got to say, you know, I take a lot of crap from people who say that we delve into the politics too much sometimes, but honestly, I want to ask people here, do you think that's something that we could have not paid attention to back then? Is that something we could have skipped over? Let me just give out the phone number for people who want to pledge for that as part of the package, 212-209-2950. Voltaire, how about you?
What you said about this person coming along once every 100 years or so, you turned out to be wrong again, because just 5 years later, we found out about Sarah Palin.
Oh, she's completely a different character. But, I don't even want to get into that. But no, George W. Bush is unique, fortunately. Red Hack.
Well, I think, I mean, in terms of the politics of it, first of all, the wonderful thing about WBAI is that people can have opinions on it. And, you know, it's not like this show necessarily has to be unbiased. We have our own opinions, and because WBAI is public radio, we're free to air them. At the same time, that was a major event at the time.
You can't ignore something that's going on right downstairs. There were soldiers walking around with machine guns and concrete barriers and things like that. The world was changing in front of us.
Right.
We had to comment on it, and we have our own unique perspective. We can talk about the technology, how that is changing when the wool is being pulled over people's eyes. So, yeah, you know, it's not just about phones and computers. It's about society.
And we do that in a lot of cases. We do talk about the technology that affects us and the surveillance and things like that. That are important to the hacker world, even though they're also political at times.
So what we're offering tonight is a full package of every show from 1988 to the end of 2009, and includes the Iraq War shows, or many shows about that, as well as all the other wars that happened, and various other bits of history, 9/11, various tribulations in the hacker world. It's all yours for a pledge of $75. Now that's I think a good 20 DVDs that you'll get. Filled with audio files, all of which are FM quality. You just got to call 212-209-2950, pledge $75. You'll also get an off-the-hook T-shirt in the size of your choice. That's for a pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. Rob?
I think a really striking thing about that recording you just played is that was 7 years ago. We've been walking past those same soldiers with those same guns for 7 years now, mm-hmm. and how many of us really notice them anymore?
I know, you get used to it.
It's a valuable reminder that this was shocking at one point in our history.
And I think that's important, both with development of technology and changes in society, that we start talking about things and we're shocked by them. For instance, when caller ID was first implemented, we were talking about that on the air like, this is never going to succeed. This is something that's people are going to object to having their phone number broadcast. And now everybody just does it, and it's people have changed their attitudes completely. There are so many examples of that with technology over the years that you'll see evolve with the Off the Hook archive. It's really something to see how it's all changed, and it continues to change. You know, back in 1988, when we first started the show, the phones were completely different. Relatively few people had computers. There was no internet to speak of. And wow, it's all changed so dramatically. And of course, society has changed dramatically as well. Now you can see all that. You can experience all of it. Many people who get this archive, they basically start at show number one and just listen to a show a night, or maybe a couple of shows a night. There are some people, comic book artists, who listen to all of it at once and get inspired to do other things. So, yeah, it's incredible what you can do with this. Bernie, I think you have more specific details on just what specifically I'm talking about.
Oh, if you're talking about Ed Piskor.
I am talking about Ed Piskor.
Our graphic novelist friend in Pittsburgh, whose graphic novel series, WYSIWYG, is spelled phonetically, is a really good, really an amazing homage to what he heard over... listening to the archives of Off the Hook for several years of archives, and he just was full immersion for him. He told me recently that he just listened to it all day for months, and that's incredible. And he was so inspired by the perspectives he gained from listening to Off the Hook that he wrote a series of graphic novels, which are really impressive stuff. He's working on the fourth volume right now. But I couldn't help listening to hearing what you were just playing and realizing the perspective that it gave me. And as Rob pointed out, if we now saw the same sort of thing going around here in Philadelphia, if I saw people on the roof with machine guns again, I would not have the same reaction that I did before. And we're kind of inured to changes around us, and I think that's kind of bad. I think we need to keep perspective of, is this really good? So I think listening back to the archives is a wonderful opportunity to gain that perspective, and I encourage our listeners to call 212-209-2950 and pledge support for this radio station. No other radio station is going to air this stuff, believe me.
And right now we have zero calls on the line, so Bernie, you might want to push a little harder. Oh, there's one. Okay, good job. Let's get some more in there, because it's really, as you say, important to maintain this perspective, to witness history and learn from that.
Going back beyond 2003, beyond, the Iraq War and the changes that have happened since then, I mean, a lot has changed in 22 years. A lot has changed. Back in 1990, 1995, if you were trying to find something about somebody, you couldn't just go to a search engine and type in their name and then find all of the things that they'd been up to and all of the things that they were saying.
Right.
A lot has changed in that time, and we've given up a lot, and a lot of things have become more open and transparent as a result. You'll hear that. You'll hear that development over time, because I'm sure this show has spoken about that.
Those of you who know nothing but, I'm using the phrases loosely, obviously you know more than iPhones and Google and things like that, but if you've grown up in that generation, and that is basically what you're living in, and you don't have a sense as to what came before that, there is no better way to experience what came before that, to see it all develop through the eyes of people in the hacker world. We have so many guests who come on the show, so many listeners who call in, and so many little bits of news and trivia, and not just in the hacker world, but throughout society, that we focused upon over the years. And you will never get a better opportunity to hear all of this. Yes, it's available online in condensed form, meaning that it doesn't sound very good. This is what we're offering tonight is basically It sounds as good as when it went out over the FM broadcast waves. So that's something that you cannot get for a pledge of $75 normally. But for this hour, yes, you can. $75, 212-209-2950. You'll get every single program from 1988 to the end of 2009. Mike, how many is that?
Too many to count.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a huge amount. And everybody who pledges 35 and above gets the brand new off-the-hook T-shirt designed by our own Rob T. Firefly. And we have one more in case people are holding out for the other thing we're offering tonight. If you pledge $125, you ready? $125, you'll get, in addition to the off-the-hook archive, you'll get a special archive of The Last Hope, basically 20 DVDs, 20 different talks from The Last Hope. And we're going to do an excerpt of that conference, which took place in 2008, in just a moment. But that's what we're offering tonight, pledges of $35, $75, $125. We need to see that phone light up, though. We have no calls on the line right now, 212-209-2950. We did great last week. We did awful the week before that. Let's make this at least a decent week. 212-209-2950. In addition to offering you some real quality stuff here, we're giving you the radio station, an alternative voice, a place where people can speak about these things freely and openly. And we want to be here in years to come. 212-209-2950.
And as we've said many times before, it's not just an internet radio station. It's not an internet radio program or a podcast. There's actually a transmitter on the top of the Empire State Building,
yes,
that broadcasts this station and all of its viewpoints beyond our own. And by calling and pledging, not only do you get these premiums, which are great in their own right, but you get the radio station and all that that offers to New York and to the world.
I see a phone ringing. I see two phones ringing. I don't see it being... I think they're looking for the phone. It's really funny watching this red light. I guess it bounced over. Okay, they found it. So that's one call on the line. We need to have about five calls before we go to the next segment. And this is a great segment. This is something from The Last Hope I want to play, I want to share with people. Just as an indication of how rich the hacker world is, how important what we do on the air, how important what we do at conferences and with publications. Two calls on the line, 212-209-2950. It's something that is must be valued or it will disappear. And this goes for anything that is a valuable part of today's society. Dot Red.
Something I want to remind the listeners about is, you know, this archive, it's not just a whole bunch of isolated talks of like whatever might have been important in that particular event. For instance, with the last archive that was played, you know, that we talk about it as if, yeah, this was really big, you know, at that time and, you know, defending people who were saying maybe we shouldn't have talked about it. But what happened then is still affecting us right now. And for mm-hmm. me, that kind of reminded me of, you know, how this even happened. I almost forgot. I walk past these soldiers every day now, these people with these automatic guns. And, you know, I remember that feeling of, should I look these people in the eye and you know, eventually following this pattern of not looking them in the eye, walking, you know.
Get used to it.
This kind of thing reminds you, first of all, reminds me, you know, what it was like when this thing was coming about. And for people who maybe don't know about it, it tells them the story of how we got to where we are now.
Right. You listen to those first shows after 9/11, you hear how things are changing slowly, and then how things change permanently. 212-209-2950. We have three calls on the line right now. And again, for a pledge of $75, you get all the shows, all the off-the-hook shows in full broadcast quality. For $125, you get all of that and a 20-disc compilation from The Last Hope of some of the highlights of that conference. And we're going to play one of those highlights as soon as we get two more calls. 212-209-2950. Dot Red, you had more?
Yeah. Actually, you just mentioned 9/11. I was thinking to myself, you know, for people who are listening to the radio show live but maybe aren't in New York City,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is that's exactly a good way to understand.
Happened down the block.
Yeah, we were here.
We were here on 9/11. In fact, we would have been on the air on September 11th. It was, I think, what was that, a Tuesday? And we were on the air on Tuesdays at that time. And, well, the station was off the air when we got, we made it downtown, but the station was not on the air and we weren't able to actually broadcast. Otherwise, we would have. I risked my life coming down downtown. Mike, you did too as well. It was quite a day. But the next week we were on and you could just hear the shock in our voices as to everything that happened and the things that we noticed. And the things that we noticed are different than what most people are talking about. We're talking about what was unusual about the subway system and the phone system, how the phone network struggled to keep up with things. Basically, the things that either mass media ignores completely or gets wrong.
and yeah, point of view. Otherwise, it wouldn't get. And the only reason we're even allowed to broadcast this point of view is because this is a listener-supported station.
Well, because you allow us to do it, not you, .red. You, the listeners.
Yeah, the listeners.
But you're
you
one
guys
of the listeners, yeah. And by pledging, you're saying this is what you want. You want to hear more of this kind of thing. By not pledging, well, you know, maybe it's going to be Country 99.5 at some point. We don't want to go down that road again. 212-209-2950. Still waiting for those two other calls. We need those to come in. And then we can get to the amazing excerpt from The Last Hope. Again, pledge of $75 gets you all the off-the-hook archive shows, about 20 DVDs filled with MP3s in full broadcast quality. Each DVD has maybe about 50 shows, something along those lines. That's a lot.
It's a whole year's worth.
Yeah, a whole year's worth. And we're talking over 20 years' worth of shows.
That's
so that's a lot of radio. And you just stick this on your iPhone or your iPad or your whatever, and go jogging or something, or drive cross country. You can go back and forth cross country a few times and be listening to our show the whole time. Boy, you'd be sick of us. But people do this. People do this all around the world. When we were traveling around the former Yugoslavia the last few weeks, it's amazing how many people are out there that listen. And this is a great way to catch up if you want to find out things that have been going on and hear the perspective. It's, you know, as you say, it's more than just a podcast. It's a radio station. It's a radio show. It's something that people riding around taxi cabs are listening to right now. It's real. This is what the magic of radio is all about. Rob.
Yeah, and what a station. I mean, WBAI has been on the air for, 50 years? And that's just been, you know, not selling a single ad, not selling a single you know, piece of airtime, just you out there, the listeners. You're all that's been keeping the station on the air. And it's by calling 212-209-2950 and giving us what assistance you can that keeps us here, that keeps these airwaves populated by alternative viewpoints that would not find airtime in any other way.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm told that somebody is actually interested in the thing we were offering a couple of weeks. I wasn't going to offer it this week, but if someone's interested, I guess we'll still offer it. $500 pledge. You can be a co-host, somebody who actually drives the conversation here on the radio show for a half hour from like 7:15 to 7:45. And yes, that's it's a great way to break into radio and to be a part of history. Just you'll be able to come in and or be on the phone and simply interview us or talk about a particular subject or whatnot. Just drive the program in a particular direction. That half hour is yours. It's an amazing thing, you know, what radio is all about, especially in the middle of New York City, especially in the middle of the FM dial. Okay, so we're waiting for one more call, 212-209-2950. Then we'll go to the Last Hope excerpt. Again, pledges of $75 gets you all the off-the-hook DVDs from 1988 to 2009. Pledge of $125 gets you all of that plus 20 DVDs from the Last Hope conference, one of which we're about to excerpt. And everybody pledging $35 and above gets an off-the-hook T-shirt. 212-209-2950. Rob.
I've got to say, I'm very much looking forward to whoever has that amount of aid to give us that they're willing to pledge $500 just to join us for a night.
Yeah. Well, you know, people are into this kind of thing.
I was just going to say I did a quick calculation and I took out maybe 50 or so episodes from the years, but it's over a month. It's 40 some odd days worth of radio that you would be getting that you could listen to and hear. Obviously, you don't have to sit and listen to all of it. But, you know, I'm sure it's all dated, right? So that you could, you know, look and see what kind of time periods you're interested in and specific dates even.
DRM free. So you can copy it to however many devices you want. And that's what it's for. Spread it around. 212-209-2950. Okay. We have that one call that's come in. Bernie, is there anything you want to add before we go to the excerpt?
No, I just was really kind of inspired by what Rob said, that, WBAI is really a beacon of alternative voices and alternative thinking, not just off the hook, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the whole thing, all the time. This station is broadcasting alternative viewpoints that you're not going to hear on other radio stations, and that is a precious thing in these days of media consolidation where your news and information just becomes more and more homogenized. This is really a refreshing source of information and opinion, and I really encourage our listeners to support this project, which has been successful for 50 years, and it's struggling to keep going. So please call 212-209-2950. 209-2950. We've got some great premiums for 35. Anybody pledging 35 or more gets an amazing off-the-hook T-shirt freshly designed by Rob T. Firefly. For a pledge of 75, you get the incomplete off-the-hook archives going all the way back to 1988, as Dot Wright just mentioned. It's thousands of hours of stimulating listening. And for a pledge of 125 or above, you get the archives, the T-shirt, and 20 DVDs, video DVDs, from The Last Hope, the highlights. This is really amazing package of information, but first and foremost, you're supporting a great radio station. So call 212-209-2950.
And this excerpt we're about to hear is something called Hacking Democracy, an in-depth analysis of the ES and S voting systems. We'll be hearing Sandy Clark talking about Project Everest, which was a comprehensive security review of the electronic voting technology used in the state of Ohio. It's really enlightening. It's really fascinating. And it's the kind of thing that we talk about here on this show. It's the kind of thing that we talk about at the conferences. And it's yours, along with 19 other DVDs and 20 audio DVDs from Off the Hook for a pledge of $125. 212-209-2950. Let's listen.
So here's a picture, by the way, of the big batch scanner running our Everest firmware. So what about the paper ballots? I mean, that's pretty much all that's left us. Well, there are problems with that, too. You see, because of those cheap, crappy wafer locks, it's trivially simple to get access to the glass surface of the scanner. So all you have to do is open the scanner up and put a post-it down where you don't want the votes to be counted. Paint something reflective, nail polish or something on it. And then, of course, it's trivially simple to forge the paper ballots as well. The paper ballots rely for their security on something called non-read ink. And you'll find this ink on security certificates like stock certificates. You'll see it on deeds. You'll see it on checks or cashier's checks sometimes. Usually it's wavy lines or an abstract pattern in a yellow ink or a red ink. And it relies for its security on the fact that that ink is invisible to the scanner. So on this ballot, some of these boxes are printed in regular ink, and some of those boxes are printed in security ink. The one at the top is in the security ink. And when you put that ballot through the scanner, either the big batch one or the individual precinct one, the scanner can't see marks where the security ink are, and it just passes that ballot right through. But if you try and make a photocopy of the ballot, or you try and print out your own version of it, that prints out in regular ink. The scanner sees boxes where it shouldn't see boxes, and it spits it out, and it prints across that LCD screen, possibly counterfeit. So how do you forge a ballot that's got this high security ink? With whiteout. All you have to do is get rid of the little security boxes, make as many copies as you want, and the scanner can't tell the difference. This ballot was accepted as authentic by both of our scanners. Now, you might think that an alert election observer might notice that those boxes are missing. They might not. Remember, Matt talked about the fact that every single precinct's election is different, and every single ballot looks different because my dog catcher isn't the same as yours. And my school board proposal isn't the same as somebody else's. And also, but they might not notice. I mean, they've been up since 5:30 in the morning. So, but if you want to be picky, and we like to be picky, you got to put that security ink back. Well, you can't buy it. There are a couple of places where you can get a hold of the yellow ink or the red ink in small quantities. But the black ink is really, really hard to come by. So once again, in our world, if you can't buy it, how do you get it? You make it yourself. We made ours with the absolutely cheapest color inkjet cartridge we could find at the local CVS. You see, another name for this security ink is composite ink. This is an ugly splotch, I know. I got a C+ in art. The point is, it's a proof of concept. That is invisible to the scanner. And that ballot was accepted as authentic by both of the scanners. And you know what this ink is? This is the stuff your home inkjet printer makes when you run out of black. It just takes the color inkjet cartridge, it mixes all the colors up together, and all I did was stick a paintbrush in all the holes and smear it around. And that is Security Inc. So what did we learn from all of this? The first thing that we learned is that the certification procedures in place to guarantee that vendors' voting machines and their whole systems are secure just don't work. You know what these procedures are? Are the comments in the same format? Do the variables follow a naming convention? Is there only one return statement per function? I don't see how that enhances the security at all. The second thing that we learned is that the security of a system that is intended or needs to be secure can't be added on as an afterthought. You can't just add a couple of locks and a seal and throw a password in and claim that the system's secure. If you need it to be secure, and then you've got to design security in from its inception. Oh, by the way, the touchscreen voting machines have hard-coded passwords. We found a comment next to a hard-coded password that said, I kid you not, this comment said, we hard-coded this so that hackers couldn't use it. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up.
Viral?
Yeah, I'll get that up. The third thing that we learned is that, well, we weren't the only ones looking at this system. Along with the academic teams, Ohio hired a group of commercial software testers. And they have a methodology, and they've got a business that goes around and trying to determine the security of software systems. And they didn't find anything that we didn't find. But we found a lot that they didn't. So why did our ad hoc, thrown together method find so much more than they did? We think it's because we approached it like hackers. We sat down, every one of us, with our little piece, and we basically said, how do I attack the system? If I poke at it here, which way does it move, and what does that tell me? And it allowed us to go off on tangents if it looked interesting. And that allowed us to make some of our best finds. For example, the Palm Pev emulator. The first thing we noticed when we unboxed that touchscreen is that there's no on-off switch. But if you stick that little box in that little slot, the machine comes on. Wow, okay, there's a switch in there somewhere. If you put the wrong one in, it comes on, but it gives you an error message, wrong Pev. So that means there's some communication going on. And so the next step was just try and decode that communication. Another example is finding the ballots. The reason we found we could forge ballots was because we tried to make a photocopy, and we sent it through, and it spit it out and said, possibly counterfeit. So we thought, okay, the papers aren't the same color. The weight, this is paper and this is cardstock. But looking closely at the ballot, you could see that some boxes didn't look exactly the same as the other. It was a little fuzzier, not quite as clear. Okay, what does that mean? And that tangent led us to that. And then the one other thing that we did is that we stepped back and looked at this not as this problem with this machine and this problem with that one, but as pieces of an entire system. And we were able to find our major discovery, that of viral propagation, because we said, we've got a vulnerability here. We've got this piece of a puzzle. How do we use that to attack this piece? And so the fourth discovery, and this is the most important, is that we were able to actually demonstrate an attack that a single person, a single voter could do at a single machine that would virally propagate all the way back to the election central headquarters of the county. And what this means is that not only could an attacker change the votes on one machine, not only could a malicious poll worker alter the results for a precinct, But one person in one podunk little precinct, somewhere in the middle of nowhere, can upload malicious code onto a machine, which will then write itself onto the removable media, which at the end of the election gets taken out of that voting machine and sent back to the headquarters, where it gets put into that Windows box running the election management software, where it takes advantage of a number of vulnerabilities and writes itself onto that, and thereby alters the results for the election of the entire county. And if you don't think that's important, please remember that in 2004, the entire country waited to find the results of who got Ohio's electoral votes. And who got Ohio's electoral votes depended on the results of Cuyahoga County. One single county made all the difference in who became president. So, you know, it's true what they say. One voter really can make a difference.
Okay, that's an excerpt from The Last Hope, Hacking Democracy, In-Depth Analysis of the ES&S Voting Systems. You're hearing from Sandy Clark there. And that's just a small bit of that one talk. You'll get 20 talks with all kinds of similarly provocative topics, along with the full Off the Hook archive for a pledge of $125. But you got to call now, because this is only being offered for the next 13 minutes, 212-209-2950. That kind of thing, you know, presented by educated people who know what they're talking about, is enough to really open up your eyes about what's going on around us. And it's the kind of thing that you don't hear in the mass media, which is why it's essential that people share this information. Now, you saw many references to things on the screen. Obviously, we can't show you what's on the screen here on the radio, but you can certainly see what's on the screen if you get the DVDs. 212-209-2950. Join the one caller on the line now. We need about five or six calls to make tonight a success in the eyes of the BAI overlords. 212-209-2950. Please join the people on the line right now, because we need to do this in order to keep the station going. Mike.
You know, it struck me as I was listening to that excerpt that hour-long talk for a pledge of $125, that'd almost be worth it just to get that one talk.
It would be more than worth it, yes.
But not only do you get that one talk, you get 19 other Hope Talks. You get Jell Biafra. You get our keynotes. Who are our keynotes?
Well, we get Steve Ramban.
You get
Jell-O, as you said.
And all kinds of
there were so many. But they're all out there.
And then you get 20 years worth of Off the Hook.
More than 20 years.
And then you get the T-shirt. And then you enable us to keep creating this content.
Yeah. You know, I would go a step further and say that if it was just a call out to people to pledge $125 to keep A Marvelous Place at WBAI alive on the FM dial, broadcasting off the top of the Empire State Building to four different states and throughout the world on the internet, that would be more than worth it, just to pledge $125, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, what have you. But we're throwing in all this extra stuff as our way of saying thank you, our personal way of donating to the station and to say thank you to the people that are calling in now. 212-209-2950. We do need to see more people calling in. But, you know, that talk really blew me away with just its insightfulness and the way that you don't have to be a technical guru to understand this. And this is what we try to do with Off the Hook and with the Hope Conference, is reach out to people who aren't techies, because they need to understand what the techies are saying and the significance to their lives. And that's why we step out of the world of computers and phones occasionally to talk about the real world as well, because it all has bearing. Go ahead, Ray.
You know, and it's interesting, because we were talking about with the Off the Hook archive, and even with these, you know, you can kind of see how things have changed, but also at the same time, you can see how things have stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of voting machines, they haven't gotten any better. You know, it's still security through obscurity, and it's still, counting first and security second. And so, you know, that's what struck me about that, is really there hasn't been any improvement in that realm as far as I can tell.
We're still asking questions and conducting as many experiments as possible. But, you know, none of this is possible without support from the public. If people don't want to hear this, then we get that message and the research stops. But people have to support inquisitiveness and rebelliousness and spreading of information. Otherwise, there's no way it could continue. Dobrat.
Yeah, I think that that talk in particular just highlights how important hacker conferences are, not just for entertainment, but also just to understand, you know, like all the important things that are going on in this world. And if you can't physically go to one, you know, getting the DVDs of Hope, for instance, is a very good way to find out what kind of information was being conveyed during that. Mm-hmm. And in this particular case, not only are you able to get that, you're able to keep the whole radio station alive.
That's right. Now, most people can't make it to the conferences. We talk to people all around the world. A lot of people have trouble getting into this country because of visa requirements and things like that. People have financial issues getting across the country even. This is the best way to experience that, experience the radio show, help the radio station out. And you can do it on your own terms because you can put it on a credit card if you want to. But again, we're only offering this until the top of the hour. After that, you can still pledge to the station, but you won't get these premiums. That's the thing. We can only offer these while we're on the air because we go broke otherwise, because this is below cost for us to be giving these away for this kind of price. 212-209-2950. We still only have one call on the line. Bernie, please make it five calls. Do your magic. Bernie? He's given up. Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm here. Okay. I'm sorry. I had my cough button. No, I had been coughing.
Okay.
While we were just moments ago, we just got an email from Travis in Maine who just emailed us saying, hey, I want the premiums from last week if I can pledge for that right now. It doesn't work that way. We have great premiums every time we do a fundraising show. Next week, I guarantee you, people are going to contact us. It happens every week. I want to get the premiums that you had last week. This is a really great package of thank you gifts. You're getting the radio station, which is really what this is all about.
Maybe we should explain why we have to have this policy. It's not that we're being jerks about it. It's that if we offered all these amazing premiums for the entire duration of the pledge drive, which is something like 5 weeks long, we would be bankrupt by the end of it because all these people would be grabbing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'd have to come up with all of this. We can only afford to do this for 1 hour per week. It's literally come down to that. So if you want this week's premiums, you got to call now, 212-209-2950. They won't be offered next week.
And we'd be bankrupt in just a matter of days. So this is a really special moment right now. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show to call 212-209-2950. Get this amazing package of premiums. It's great material. It'll last you a year or more. Call 212-209-2950. You get a great off-the-hook T-shirt designed by Rob T. Firefly for a pledge of 35 or more. You get the complete off-the-hook archives going all the way back to 1988. Every show, it's like 1,400 hours or something, for only $75. And for 125 or more, you get all of the above, plus 20 DVDs we just talked about. Sandy Clark gave this great talk at The Last Hope about voting machine vulnerabilities. And there's 19 more really great videos in that package. Please,
actually,
call 212.
Yeah, Bernie, you really are magic because there's five calls on the line now. Thank you very much for bringing those calls in, and thank those people for calling in. But you mentioned Sandy Clark on that panel. There are actually seven people on that panel, so it was quite a provocative talk, and a lot of interesting things were revealed, a lot of things that I'm sure certain people wouldn't want revealed, and that's only one talk. We have 20 such talks to give to you for a pledge of $125 from The Last Hope. And in addition to that, you get the entire off-the-hook archive. Now, it's possible. It's possible that you already have the off-the-hook archive, that you pledged in the past and got that. If so, it's a tremendous gift. It really is. Many eyes have been opened by the radio show. And I'm not exaggerating. People have talked to me and said that this show has changed their lives, has made them question things and inspired them that, hey, there's people like me out there that are into this kind of thing and want to experiment and spread information. So, yeah, if you already have it, it's a great thing to give to somebody that you think has potential. 212-209-2950. Join the seven calls on the line right now and help the radio station out, help Off the Hook out. Not Kevin. You have something to say.
I do, and I have to say that these premiums that we're offering, the DVDs, the shows, the radio station, your support, everything, it's when you say that this radio station actually opens people's eyes, it really does, because it opened my eyes when I was a young little kid listening to the show back in 1998.
They were firmly shut.
I was a blind child, and then this show came along, and it opened them, and opened me to so many things that I had never understood before. And then it's especially important for people in my generation to have something like this archive, these they're almost, you know, textbooks into a technology that we were born into. You know, we were born into the age of the internet, the search engine, the iPad, all the things before that that I never got to experience. This is my only way to understand, to learn about them. And that's why it is so important that you donate to this station, because there's nothing else in the world like this.
And what about the future generations? What about the children? What about those people who have not yet turned on the radio? We need to be there for them as well. And we need to have more people come in and speak with them. But that's only possible if there is a radio station for them to listen to in the first place. 212-209-2950. In the last couple of minutes of our show, we have 8 calls on the line. Please keep those calls coming in. Again, 125 gets you everything. 75 gets you some of it. 35 gets you the shirt. I go into more detail, but we're so short on time. Red Hack.
You know, it's also... Well, it's also a great time capsule, too, the show, to listen to. You know, a lot of us have done a lot of traveling. We've gone to different conferences. We've participated in all sorts of things around the world. And you can hear that. You can hear that experience through our viewpoint. And, you know, things like that might excite you. Might get you to want to go to these things, come to Hope, go to conferences in Europe and things like that. It certainly did that for me. Without this show and without this community, I would have no idea about any of these things. And I found out about a lot of them through this show. And so, you know, to hear that kind of that history, it's a great deal.
Okay, we're pretty much out of time. Voltaire, last words.
As you could say, if you're listening to this show, you probably like the medium of audio and hearing news through audio.
Yes.
There's no audio archives of a PC magazine or Wired magazine or even 2600 magazine.
Yeah.
This is one of the few sources that goes back 20 years. Podcast only started in 2004 or so.
Yeah.
This goes back over 20 years of
history. It's history. It really is history. And so is the Hope Conference. And you can get it all for Pledge of 125, 212-209-2950. I want to thank everybody for calling in. We're out of here. PC show is up next. And we'll be back again next week with all kinds of other things. And here's our computer song for the night, a tribute to Ronnie James Dio. Good night. We'll be right back.
Good evening. This is the Personal Computer Show. I'm Joe King, and here in the studio with me is Hank Key and Tony Ryan behind the console from the sunny clime of Helsinki, the land of the midnight sun. Is it midnight out there? David Perry is coming to us. David is, as you know, with Trend Micro, and he travels the world on behalf of Trend and the Personal Computer Show. Hi, David.
Hi, Joe. Hank, how is everybody?
We're good. Fine. What time is it?
It's 3 a.m. The midnight sun is already... Actually, the sun goes down right now at 11:30 p.m. and comes back up at 4:30 p.m.
Oh, it's perfect for somebody like you.
What's the temperature?
It's believe it or not, it's hot. The wind is coming in from St. Petersburg,
oh,
which
here,
gets very muggy in the summer.
Well, here in New York, it's only a very cool 92.
In the studio?
No.
In the studio, it's about 105. It's actually hot as hell.
You guys know I'm going to be there at the end of June in person.
I'm counting on it.
Right. And here's the thing. Are we pledging tonight?
We are going into a pledge mode in about a half an hour, but we have several things of much more import to talk about prior to that. Incidentally, if anybody is interested in joining the WBAI family, becoming a member of the WBAI family, they can go to our website, pcradioshow.org, and they can make a pledge there, or they can look at what premiums we're offering. But that's at the half-hour break. Until then, we've got a show to do, the Personal Computer Show, David.
That's why we're all here together.
Hank, what do we have to start the show with?
Well, first of all, Hewlett-Packard has another recall. What they did was they originally recalled about 70,000 batteries, laptop batteries, that were manufactured between 2007 to 2008. They've added another 54,000 on that, and a big thank you to Richie Nix from 4G Data. He had sent me the advisory from Hewlett-Packard. And it's also from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, and from there they have a they've listed the model numbers and the battery itself. We have this on our website. Michael Horowitz, our webmaster, put it up on pcradioshow.org. Is somewhere on the website, and this way you can go to the website and check out the exact model number and the type of battery. It's quite important. There is no major problems with it that they have found, but there have been some minor problems with heating, and you want to attend to minor problems before they become major problems. Right, Joe?
When you talk about battery overheating, it's a really serious problem. I think many of us remember just a few years ago they were on YouTube, all those films of Sony batteries blowing up on airplanes and elsewhere, and You don't want to fool with it, and especially if the manufacturer is telling you that there's a chance and they're willing to make good on it and make it a free replacement, you should check your serial number.
Yeah, and in the past it used to be with these battery makers, nah, it doesn't happen. Well, now they are very quick to own up to a problem, and I'm glad to hear that. But it is a problem, and Hewlett-Packard saying, hey, right now they've identified, by the way, in total, about over 100,000 batteries, but not all of them have a problem. In other words, it's a combination of the model, the laptop model, which includes compact, by the way, with the battery itself. So it's just not just the battery itself. It depending on what model number it's in.
Next story.
The other one is that Google, their Chrome browser, I'm starting to use it. It's nice. It's fast. It's easy. And much to my surprise, the beta version for Mac and Linux is no longer beta. That was quick.
That's particularly for Google. They have a tendency to keep it in beta for an extraordinarily long time, and they didn't do that this time.
I want to digress a little because we have a letter that we had received from a listener, and it's fairly important. I think we really should talk about it. And she wrote that someone had hacked into a Hotmail email account, changed the password, as well as a secret question. And now they have full control of the address and are sending out emails to her contacts requesting money.
Incidentally, Hank, we have one letter from one listener, but this is a very, very common problem with the free email accounts, things like Hotmail, Yahoo Mail, and several others. Strangely enough, not with Google, who has much better security built in.
Now, what she said that this has also happened to her Facebook, too. And what she did was she completed five different reports to Microsoft, the owners of Hotmail, and nothing's been done. And she's saying, help, what do I do?
Well, you know, we don't really have any real help for this poor listener. Do you have anything that you want to add to it, David, before I go on with a more general comment?
Yeah, I would like to say hello to Luigi the bird. Actually, that was a call out to a friend of mine in Northern California who actually has a bird named Albert, and I put Luigi in just because my mind isn't working properly. Yeah, this is extremely common. I actually get this stuff just like everybody else does, and it's even the stuff that you get that looks like it's coming from another address is not coming necessarily from the address that it's addressed from. It's almost always coming from botnets.
No, but the thing is, in her case, the person's even taken over the account where the hint on, if you want to change the password, she can't change it because the secret question got changed.
Well, this sounds like an amateur. The pros don't even bother with stuff like that.
Well, this is happening a lot with the free email accounts. Tony, do you have something to add?
Well, my question is that you have to have a password to get into the account. How was she able to get into the account with that?
Somehow, her account and many others have been hacked with the password, because what they will do very often is use a very simple-minded password, which a standard password cracking program will get on the third try.
But do you understand what
I'm
saying?
Also, they can break in using the challenge question if they can find the person's Facebook account. Because frequently we are leaving that information, you know, our mother's maiden name, our favorite pet, mm-hmm. where we went to school, that's all available. They did this to Sarah Palin with her MySpace account.
One of the things that I'm going to suggest is those of you who have not yet lost your account to one of these people, because once you've lost it, there is really not much you can do. The price you pay for a free email account, and free I mean Yahoo, Hotmail, people like that, the price you pay is that you don't have any tech support that you can depend on. You don't have anybody you can go and complain to. You can write an email, and someday they may or may not answer it. But what you can do is protect yourself a little bit in advance. We had as a guest some time back a fellow named Leo Nottenboom who has a column or a blog called Ask Leo. And, of course, you know that our webmaster, Michael Horowitz, has a blog on defensive computing and security. And basically what they're both saying is there are several things you could do. One of the things that I do on almost everything that I use is when they ask for a birth date, I give them a date that has nothing to do with my birth date, my anniversary, the day I graduate, nothing that can be traced, just an arbitrary date. I make a note of it someplace. If they ask me for the first street I lived on as a kid, I pick a street, Main Street or something, but has nothing to do with the first street I lived on. They want to know my mother's maiden name, I give them somebody's name. What is my favorite food? It might be, my favorite food happens to be 1, 2, 3 strawberry, 4, 5, 6. So that nobody can actually go out and trace down the answers to standard questions, because I've made up all the answers for this particular, and I don't repeat them at any site I go to. Almost impossible with that kind of information to use human engineering in order to get.
You might want to get yourself a computer to keep track of all that stuff.
What I do is I do keep track of it in an electronic notepad. And if I lose that notepad, it can't be traced back, because I don't have it tied. I don't say WBAI. This is my name. This is my information. I just put it down, and with some sort of a code that will let me know that it's for BAI or it's for the New York Amateur Computer Club or it's for this or it's for that.
Well,
that's the first thing.
I do the same thing, and I keep a track of mine on paper. I keep a school composition book, the black and white kind.
Well, one of the things that I would recommend to this person right now is that you contact all your close friends, start some new email account. And by the way, Joe, you're talking about free accounts, free email that this happens to. Does it happen to Google Gmail?
For some reason.